alluded to a song I heard on the radio the other day, which I must say I found just a tad disturbing. And it went like this.
Well, you can get to the rich and take from the poor.
Well, you better do vote. Welcome to Scandal.org. Today, I'm stepping right into the new killer, uranium. Get acquainted. See the suffering. And the extermination of this planet might happen if we don't stop it. So stay tuned. I hope you enjoy the program.
Negotiations over uranium exploitation with China are going well, and they're optimistic about reaching an agreement.
Told the Chinese that they need to be transparent about what their military buildup means. So I think the issue of whether or not one decides to participate in fuel supply is a quite separable issue, and it's one for the Australians to determine.
So you see, the economy is seen as the source of everything.
Agreements.
Culture.
Or for the peaceful use of nuclear energy and for the cooperation of uranium.
It plans to build 30 nuclear reactors by 2020. Australia has as much as 80% of the world's known uranium reserves and stands to be a major supplier. Billions of dollars could be made.
If an agreement were entered, then we do have the capacity to export to China. Now, this would involve possible changes to the Three Mines policy back in Australia.
Australia might need more uranium mines, a new course from the previous restrictive policy.
Well, this can be a block on the ability to actually export, but that's a matter for Australia. Leave that aside.
So you see, the economy is seen as the source of everything.
That negotiations over uranium exploitation with China are going well, and they're optimistic about reaching an agreement.
So why the hell is it that we don't put air, water, and soil as the absolute bottom line? It's with the air, water, and soil, because that's what gives us life.
That's Prime Minister Alexander Downer says while he welcomes a nuclear deal between New Delhi and Washington, it won't lead Australia to sell uranium to India. The agreement between India and the United States to share nuclear fuel and technology has been made despite India's refusal to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Pact.
You don't mess around with my this kind of economic system we've got is a form of brain damage.
If we were to export uranium to India, that would constitute a significant shift in our policy. I mean, it would open up questions of whether we'd export uranium to countries like Israel and Pakistan as well. And I think it's probably easier for us to support the current policy. It's probably better for us to give all the support we can to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty.
Well, the Prime Minister mentioned we concluded an historic agreement today on nuclear power. It's not an easy job for the Prime Minister to achieve this agreement. I understand it's not easy for the American President to achieve this agreement, but it's a necessary agreement.
India can be a major buyer of Australian uranium.
So you see, the economy is seen as the source of everything.
Australia sells uranium to nuclear weapons states. Now, the claim is that these states separate Australian uranium away from the uranium that they buy for nuclear weapons purposes. Now, there have been some studies done down the years which suggest that the guarantees given here are not entirely watertight. It just seems as though it's a very convenient argument.
It's a very convenient argument.
Stress China's peaceful intentions.
These agreements
围绕和平利用核能
are all for the peaceful use of nuclear energy and for the cooperation of uranium.
Australia has as much as 80% of the world's known uranium reserves and stands to be a major supplier. Billions of dollars could be made. Australia might need more uranium mines, a new course from the previous restrictive policy.
The whole application of technology is this conceit that we're so smart, we can do it, you know, the right way. What we need to do is get a much greater sense of humility and say, gee, nature has had 4 billion years of experience.
Prevention of war. Dr. Waring.
Ladies and gentlemen, climate change is one of the most urgent problems facing humanity, and it requires urgent solutions. As a disproportionate contributor to climate change, Australia has a responsibility to promote energies that are clean, safe and sustainable. The nuclear fuel cycle is none of these things. It is too slow, too ineffective, too costly, emits too much carbon, and is too dangerous to address climate change. The Australian Safeguards and Non-Proliferation Office has admitted that there are inescapable errors in the accounting process. We're told that Australian uranium cannot end up in weapons, despite many examples that suggest the opposite. We're told that Australian uranium cannot end up in weapons, despite many examples that suggest the opposite. We've sold to France when it was conducting weapons tests in the Pacific, to Finland when it allowed reprocessing in Soviet military facilities, to South Korea despite that nation's clandestine nuclear activities in violation of the NPT, and now possibly to China, a nuclear weapon state.
India can be a major buyer of Australian uranium.
Australia sells uranium to nuclear weapons states. Now, the claim is that these states separate Australian uranium away from the uranium that they buy for nuclear weapons purposes. Now, there have been some studies done down the years which suggest that the guarantees given here are not entirely watertight. It just seems as though it's a very convenient argument.
Prime Minister Alexander Downer says while he welcomes a nuclear deal between New Delhi and Washington, it won't lead Australia to sell uranium to India.
If we were to export uranium to India, that would constitute a significant shift in our policy. I mean,
Prime Minister mentioned we concluded an historic agreement today on a nuclear power. It's not an easy job for the Prime Minister to achieve this agreement. I understand it's not easy for the American president to achieve this agreement, but it's a necessary agreement.
Australia has as much as 80% of the world's known uranium reserves and stands to be a major supplier. Billions of dollars could be made.
The nuclear fuel cycle is none of these things. It is too slow, too ineffective, too costly, emits too much carbon, and is too dangerous to address climate change.
Put that in perspective. If you add up all of the GDPs, the annual GDPs of all of the countries in the world, when Count Stanza published this, it came to $18 trillion. So nature is doing twice as much service as all of the economies of the planet. And economists call that an externality. Well, if that isn't a demonstration of brain damage, I don't know what is.
The pursuit of nuclear power diverts resources and is a distraction from the implementation of energy efficiencies and clean energy solutions, the real solutions for which our children will thank us.
In the US, direct subsidies to nuclear energy total $115 billion between 1947 and 1999, with a further $145 billion in indirect subsidies. In contrast, subsidies to wind and solar combined during the same period totaled only $5.5 billion.
And the whole application of technology is this conceit that we're so smart, we can do it, you know, the right way. What we need to do is get a much greater sense of humility and say, gee, nature has had 4 billion years of experience.
An historic agreement today on a nuclear power.
Serves and stands to be a major supplier. Billions of dollars could be made. Billions of dollars could be made. Billions of dollars could be made.
Now we take you to the Department of National Security, where Norm and Barry discuss future policy directions.
Well, Barry, it's good to have you here today. After Secretary of State, Dr. Condoleezza Rice's visit, that's with two E's and two Z's, from Alabama, that's actually with four A's. Well, it brings up some policy matters with the Australian industries regarding Empire's request for raw materials.
Ah, what a surprise. Ms. Rice was here. Well, after last year's visit of Professor Rumsfeld explaining the merits of sound knowledge of unknown knowns, particularly with weapons of mass deception and radioactive materials, I now have packed a suitcase ready, just in case.
Yes, good of you to be prepared for a swift move. However, let's hope this mining operation Dig Down Under can continue undisrupted. But to the point of interest, Dr. Rice outlined the strategy to our foreign minister to massage our population into gradual acceptance of a rapid militarization of this part of empire.
What about the Australian Defence Forces?
Yes, the Australian Defence Forces will undergo further modifications with new fighter planes acquired. By the way, an excellent deal, a mere $90 million of pop. Good military procurement work. Yep, there will be a lot more shopping for the toy boys. And there will also be some slimming and trimming.
Slimming and trimming?
Yep, sorry, but most of these foot soldiers will be outsourced, if you would pardon my employer vocabulary. Particularly the tubby diggers have to go. They are unsuitable for modern asymmetrical warfare, where technology matters and regular people not. They will be replaced with fully trained and equipped American battalions.
So, finally, this government acknowledges the American view of China being the new threat?
Not only China becoming a rival, but these upstart Hindus from India also want our uranium. Iran, North Korea, Venezuela, Bolivia, Brazil, Argentina and Uruguay all need our uranium for their purposes. Hopefully we never have to live with the future consequences. Well, it worked out with the Arabs for our oil, with a few terrorists coming out of the equation, but Professor Rumsfeld has factored that in with his yet-to-be-published essay on the future of the global war on terror.
An empire wants to give us finally the military muscle we always pretended to have? By the way, that was quite risky to rely entirely on a bluff strategy in the past, Norm. Could no one ever tested us seriously then?
Yes, we had a close shave in 1999 going into East Timor, liberating these people from those genocidal Indonesian militia to make sure when they obtained independence from Indonesia that they were willing and happy to give us a large share of their gas fields. Well, now we have another glitch here, this time with the Indonesian Golkar Party being upset about us accepting a mere 40 refugees from West Papua, which is another Indonesian backyard. They know we are after their mining operations. They are not stupid like Australians.
I think that has been sorted out by Ms. Rice just visiting Jakarta the other day. But how will the new policy be carried out, Norm?
Well, Barry, as you and I know, there are already strategic facilities in this country, such as Pine Gap.
And some other purely naval bases, like the seaports of Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane.
Additionally, Empire wants all major raw material mining operations to be guarded, including highway corridors, railway tracks, port facilities, shipping routes, the lot. Barry, you need to start the public relations campaign to persuade the population into accepting this new protection we have to have.
What? like the baby overboard spin or the just averted attack on Port Melbourne, I think, Norm, that these methods have been almost exhausted. Don't you think so, Norm?
Barry, you still haven't read Mein Kampf. Hey, Hitler's book is a must-read for this age. Public relations guru Hermann Goebbels wrote that messages of fear and blame always work. In fact, repeated messages drive people even better, just like herd animals into the pen of public opinion of our choice.
Like an incessantly tapping hammer until the conscious mind switches off and the message just enters the subconscious instead.
Yep, Norm, just like those 60s television ads for detergents and toothpaste. Since Tony Blair has outlined Britain's view on China and India and the rest last week, we know now how to proceed with our part on the job to victory. Hey, Barry?
Is he still a valuable ally? Does he know about our clandestine project with the nuclear missile silos?
I just wanted to put out a word of caution about Tony. Last time, he nearly faltered in the face of the mob protesting in the UK and worldwide. We need to conclude the uranium deals with China and India. He is prone to blurb out the truth prematurely, and we have to face a messy situation with protesting mobs everywhere. We don't want Tony causing this here in Australia. Bloody hell.
No, we don't want our finely tuned and calibrated misinformation campaigns about the interests of the US and UK to be interfered with.
That's right, Barry. A carefully crafted media campaign to sway opinion to more male-dominating values? Truth through white racial awareness and control of flexing muscles of strength. We need to campaign against intellectual students, lefties, and clever people in general.
Yeah, lefties, communists, hippies, and terrorists. Gotta get rid of them.
Unemployed, homeless, old-aged cranks, preschool kids, non-Catholics, unpaid volunteering, do-gooders, all this unproductive scum weighing us down's got to go. In fact, anyone who voted other than for the Liberal Party in the last election should be sent to Afghanistan and first earn their spot in the sun.
Back to the policy directions for militarizing this part of empire, Barry. How do we know when it's time to grab that suitcase and run?
Well, that's what Professor Rumsfeld will tell us soon in all detail.
So it's true that there really are known unknowns we have to contend with?
Frankly, Barry, sometimes I think he is far beyond our level of sophistication.
Can't wait to know the new unknowns of radiation hazards.
On TuneIn FM have
fearless, cheeky, challenging, informative, alternative, relevant news and analysis.
They have Alan Jones, advertisements, John Laws, advertisements, advertisements, recycled hit parade, and advertisements.
We on TuneIn FM have
local artists, world music,
homegrown talent,
scathing songs that make protest musical,
and cutting-edge releases expanding the boundaries of experimentation and creative exaggeration.
They have Alan Jones, John Laws, Cash for Comment, and
advertisements.
Of course.
We have dedicated, hard-working volunteers, talented artists, original productions, and a band of loyal local sponsors who we just love.
Are we rolling? Here we go. Dateline, March 30th, 2020, Slug, AUB inquiry hots up. In another development at the Australian Uranium Board inquiry today, a second damning memo from the office of the Prime Minister was tabled before the Chief Commissioner. The memo came to light after the former AUB chairperson handed over a large number of documents related to the illegal sale of uranium to China, breaking the 10-year sanction regime imposed on that nation. The sanctions were imposed after the United States of the world declared that China's decision to close all McDonald's, Coke and Pizza Hut outlets was an affront to business interests in the US. citing the fact that China had thrown out the multinationals with only 3 years' warning. The Capitalist Manufacturers and Obesity Providers Association of the United States of the World launched a high-powered lobbying strategy designed to pressure politicians on Capitalist Hill to negotiate a much better deal for them. After that lobbying effort failed, the CMOPA turned its attention to Canberra and began making overtures to the Costello government. After securing the Australian government's support, the Capitalist Manufacturers and Obesity Providers Association was able to successfully lobby the United Nations of the three remaining signatories to impose a sanction regime on China. That regime is to be enforced with a voluntary halt on all exports to China, except those authorised by the United States of the World. The banned products included cheap electronic goods, soccer balls, shoes, most apparel, computer software, and CDs. Australian uranium was also banned after traces of it were found in the ruins of the Taiwanese capital Taipei, following China's unsuccessful attempts to prevent the Taiwanese from declaring their independence. The Australian government had not opposed China's decision in deciding to use nuclear weapons on Taiwan. For almost 2 years, the Australian government refused to acknowledge the role the Australian Uranium Board may have played in the destruction of the 22 million Taiwanese citizens. The Prime Minister, Peter Costello, repeatedly told the Unified Parliament of Australia's one-party single house that his government had nothing to do with the uranium exports once they left the country, and their diversion for use in nuclear weapons was beyond its control. Citing the Howard government's promises from 2006, Prime Minister Costello reiterated that his government had maintained a rhetorical position on uranium exports and that, as far as he was concerned, his government had acted properly at all times. However, critics reminded the PM that they had warned about the dangers of privatising the AUB, pushing it to return even higher profits for the Chinese companies that now ran the uranium mining industry. After the sell-off of the last Australian company to Chinese interests, critics of the Costello approach to trade warned that the new directors may not be so keen to abide by Australia's uranium concerns. In response to the critics, the Foreign Minister, Alexander Downer, and the Trade Minister, Mark Vaile, put pressure on the exporters to publicly demonstrate their compliance with public expectations. The Chinese companies said they would not break the law, quote, fingers crossed, cross our hearts and hope to die, unquote. However, what transpired was an alleged conspiracy to work around the concerns by the Chinese exporters and importers. Under the export deal approved by the former finance minister Nick Minchin and the trade minister, all exports have to be accompanied by an AUB official and two government staffers. It is believed that as early as 2 days after the first shipment of uranium from Australia arrived in China, these officials were being bribed to turn a blind eye to where the product was being delivered. In documents tabled at the inquiry last week, it was revealed that the officials were bribed with girls, alcohol, guns, and had incriminating photos taken of them, one of which showed a bare-chested former AUB CEO pointing a pistol at the camera. But it is these latest documents that have really shaken the inquiry. The documents reveal that the foreign minister, who has strenuously denied any knowledge of the kickbacks and bribes, had read a memo to him by a concerned departmental official based in Beijing. The official wrote to Mr. Downer, pointing out that the export documents received by her said the AUB had transported 10 tonnes of uranium to China in the previous month, but the Chinese import documents said only 5 tonnes had arrived. She said in the memo that this pattern of discrepancies had been occurring for nearly 12 months. Speaking to a press conference outside the Unified Parliament of Australia's one-party single house, Trade Minister Mark Vaile told waiting reporters, through gasps on his oxygen tank, that the Costello government was rock solid in its support of the trade deal and that he had no knowledge of the alleged wrongdoing until this past week. The foreign minister was sticking to his story that no one had told him anything about whatever it was we were inquiring about and that he needed to have another Bex and lie down because he was feeling a little off colour today. The PM's office refused to take calls from this media outlet or respond to emails asking the PM to clarify his statement aired on the Macquarie network this morning. In that statement, the PM, Peter Costello, said he was impressed with the way his ministers had handled the situation and that the AUB was staffed by some really nice guys. The PM said he also had faith in the inquiry system and that he expected the Chief Commissioner, Philip Ruddock, to abide by the principles of truth, fairness and transparency, and that the leading prosecutor, Amanda Vanstone, had proved herself to be a formidable presence who he trusted to use honesty, openness and a sense of the fair go to bring the inquiry to a swift conclusion. The inquiry continues, and it is likely that no government official will be called, nor any witnesses from the Chinese companies and the AUB will be forced to give evidence. I'm Shane Elson at the AUB Inquiry, reporting for the Public First program.
First Englishman head of state to steer Aussie Parliament for a day, even though three Yanks have already passed this glorious milestone. Yes, Tony Fowle propaganda blouse Blair suggested this week that Australia entered the Iraqi War on Terror on the same date that Churchill went into bat against Nazi Tahiti. Oops, Germany, I always get the two confused. And that our middle right-wing automatic act, without any thought or strategy, actually smacks of unselfish and peaceful goodwill to all humanity. Oh, and to suck up the Yanks for regional protection and trade and oil embellishments as well. A walkout on Iraq would be unthinkable, Blair states. Perhaps our own brave leader suggests un-Australian. And to the top end, Goody and Finch numbers are on the up again in the territory due to good monsoon rains and decreasing hot dry season fires. Also, studies up north suggest that there have been no species extinctions due to competitive impacts of cane toads, including mammals, reptiles and amphibians. Reptile expert in Darwin, Tony Griffiths, told me nearly 4 years back that he believed that Varanidae, the goanna species, would pull through cane toad invasions. What a sore belly and colourful head be that experience, I say. In some of the territory's monsoon regions, up to 80% of cane toads have now been eradicated. Hooray! Many areas up there, such as Catherine Gorge, have less native biomass now. I hope our native creature friends return in abundance, hey? If you haven't swum in a rainforest spring or under a waterfall in the steamy top end, then you haven't lived. Or if you swim in the wrong place, you won't live. Which leads me to a plug for myself, as I am a Leo after all. My research on croc numbers moving south due to global warming, the tropification of our coastline, has been proven correct, as the ABC followed up my details and stated that salties have indeed moved a tad south. Martin Jansen was the first to air my theory on his Sunday show, Kind Tar. And another plug? Adam at the Bush Theatre tells me that movies will soon be shown again at the Bush Theatre, and the Mexican Cafe and Reggae Club is a go-go. Be there or be bust, brother. And for those of you who didn't believe me at the pub, in the 17th century, drunken Dutch sailors sailing up the West Australian coast did in fact find dugongs attractive, hence the label mermaid applies here.
Well, that was free speech by...
Shamrock's morbid fear of xenophobia, Bafflement Carnivali.
Well, from the top, we had the Nuclear Mix, with inserted of Australian media clips by myself. And then we had the Dig Down Under satirical sketch, enacted by Graham and myself, written by myself. And the intro was spoken by Ian. Then we had the piece called Dateline 2020, or the subtitle The Australian Uranium Board Inquiry. It was a bit of a mixture of Australian wheat board scandal and uranium mining. First published with the Public First program by Shane, who runs a website called www.shane.araustralia.org. So AR in front of Australia, all small letters, .org/. And then we had the Shamrock News by Ian, and a new promo made by Warwick and a lot of volunteer voices. Anyway, the intro and extra music was I Hate Politics by Brendan Fuller from Melbourne. There's no website, no email, so that's all I can give you, the name and the title. I hope you enjoyed the show. Write to me at nimfm at nimfm.org. Click on www.nimfm.org for schedule, and you can download freely more programs from nimbinradiomedia.libsyn.com. Go to the calendar month to get the full page of all programs of that month. And otherwise, catch me next week and be well. After all that new killer uranium, you should feel good.
Would the Honourable Member,
furthermore, Mr. Speaker, please resume their seat.
We'd like to reiterate that there will be no new taxes on the budget and that my government
order
will not go down the road of our predecessors.
The Honourable Member, please resume.
Madam Speaker, my question is directed to the Minister for Free Lunches.
Order.
What bill would he be having put third?
I'm very grateful to the Member for things irrelevant for raising the issue, and I'll get back to you in due course.
We must have order in the house. I will have order in this house.